You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
The referendum was a major achievement, but it's also sort of a beginning of a long process to litigate these countries in terms of a functional state.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, Sudan after the referendum.
After decades of civil war, countless deaths, and millions displaced, the people of Africa's largest country have voted to split Sudan into two separate states. With that decision, the Sudanese ended years of bitter ethnic conflict, but remained united in their joint economic interests and desire for a better future. Still, there are many issues that are yet to be resolved, notes Senior Fellow Mwangi Kimenyi.
Mwangi, the North arguably had the most to lose in separating from the South. Why did they agree to do it?
North Sudan didn't just give up on South Sudan. This is part of the implementation of what is called a comprehensive peace agreement, which was negotiated by a lot of countries, the international community. And this was found to be the only solution, was an option to separate. Remember that the referendum the agreement didn't say that the South has to be separate, but the idea was to give the South the option to vote whether to remain part of the North or the South. And I don't think that resisting that vote would have solved the problem. It would have just meant a continuation of the war. So I think this was the best option for both North and South.
Since the referendum vote some weeks ago, there have been violent outburst. Is this likely to continue?
Although we have seen a successful vote, I think it should also mark the beginning of another peace process to deal with the two countries, how they deal with each other. If that doesn't happen, you could get conflicts, breaking out again. Secondly, the South is made up of very different peoples. There are so many ethnic groups in the South, and it's likely that we may find that even within the South, new conflicts, new struggles for power and control may emerge. So there are a lot of challenges. So there will be challenges in terms of how do you get the South to be united so that it's peaceful.
What are the top priorities for economic development in the South?
One of the problems with the Sudan for a long time was the neglect of the South. All the major development projects, all the investments have been in the North. So the South has actually been left behind. And if you looked at like education status, you look at health status, you look at housing, everything, you find that the South is far behind. One of the big challenges, of course, has to do with opening up that part of the country in terms of infrastructure, roads, railway, water, electricity, all that. All those are missing in the South. So I think that we have a new country, but it's quite challenged in terms of moving forward. Even with the oil, it will not be that easy to progress without some support, particularly initially.
Oil is probably the biggest issue between the North and the South. The reserves are in the South, and all of the infrastructure is in the North. How will this play out?
About 75% of the reserves, the known reserves, are in the South, and the other small portion is in the North. Now, it also turns out that the infrastructure, the pipeline, the roads to ship the oil are on the North. And so the Comprehensive Peace Agreement sort of called for a 50-50% sharing of the oil. But that was up to the head of the CPA, which is next July. That's when the Comprehensive Peace Agreement is supposed to cease. But it's not clear now how the sharing will be. So one of the challenges is agreeing on a formula of sharing the oil.
What role does the global community play in helping these two emerging nations get on their feet?
At least fast-tracking some form of debt relief. I think that would be very important. Or some, postponing debt so that they can at least be able to start development programs rather than just investing in debt interest payments.
What does the New South mean to the East African community?
Sudan was typical. It's a very huge country. It's actually the one-third of the size of the United States, and it has so many boundaries. I think its borders about 13 countries or so. It has so many boundaries. And the north is quite different from the south in terms of ethnic composition and religion, being the Muslim north and, Arabic sort of. And then the south is black and mainly Christian. So you had quite different countries, and most likely then the South will fit better within the East African community. And so that will be quite important in terms of, proximity and also the in terms of the linkages that will be formed.
There's a long rocky road ahead for these two countries. What do you foresee?
The issues will not be concluded within a year or so. It will be a process. But in the long run, I think this will be a more peaceful and prosperous two states if they actually engage with each other.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, or iPhone, go to brookings.edu/mobile.